What? What is it? Probably get that looked at. And welcome to... Yes, what?
Okay. You can stop recording now. I need to catch my breath.
Oh, no, that was awesome. I'm totally going to throw that into the first bloopers reel
we
do.
No, you're not. You're so not. Oh, God. I just... It was like, oh, so you're going to count to 30 and then start recording.
Salutations, ladies, gentlemen, and cheesecake aficionados. This is the premiere episode of Eorzea Errata, a Final Fantasy XIV podcast, hoping to bring you some enrapturing discussion, lively debate, and all-around good times as we all eagerly await the coming of Final Fantasy XIV. My name is Alabreth.
My name is Rathwa.
And together, we're going to try to provide you some quality entertainment to pass some time, and maybe bring some new thoughts to your heads as we wait for Final Fantasy XIV. Since this is our very first episode, thought it'd be proper to get for you guys to get to know us a little bit. So, Rhea, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Why, hello there. My name is Rathwa, Rhea for short. My MMO experience is somewhat limited. I have some experience with World of Warcraft, the other big MMO out there, of which you're all aware. I am, of course, a Final Fantasy XI player.
Yay!
Though I do not have very vast, diverse, and, you know, deep experience with that game, though I have been playing it for a considerable amount of time.
More importantly, you have a tail.
Yes, yes, about that. Since my name is Rhea, many of you may be wondering about that. I play a Mithra on the Final Fantasy XI, and
the appropriate term is Manthra.
Okay, I play a Manthra. And I'm looking forward to playing as a Mikote on Final Fantasy XIV, so I can keep my name going. And, yeah, I played Guild Wars, which you're still not going to allow me, Elbreth, to think of as an MMO, are you?
No, I'm sorry. Guild Wars is not an MMO. It is, at most, fun times, and maybe... I played that game for maybe 3 hours and didn't talk to one single person.
Okay. Sure, fine. We'll go with that. I mean, you know...
It is NPC-instanced fun, but has very little MMOing.
Yeah, well, I have some experience with that. Should you consider it an MMO, we'll leave that up to you. Yes, I am really excited, looking forward to Final Fantasy XIV, to playing it on my PS3, and would love to get right in there, and hopefully won't have anything too massive on my schedule when it releases that I can
abandon myself. Oh, come on, we all know we're going to be writing our theses when that thing comes out.
I know. You know, first semester in grad school, hopefully it won't be that bad.
Yeah.
So, how about yourself?
Well, let's see. My name's Elabreth. I have been playing Final Fantasy XI for 5 years and something like 6 months now. I just looked at my playtime and then freaked out and then wondered as to why I did not spend more time in the real world.
Don't we all?
My previous MMO experience, essentially, I started out in Shadowbane. I don't know if anyone remembers that. It's old as can be, but it was really fun PvP game. You got to build your own cities and confessor fire things and float. And then I did take a quick break from 11 to cross over with some friends to EverQuest 2, which was kind of fun. I played a warden and turned into a wolf. And magical healed love of nature things.
Okay.
And I have been enjoying Final Fantasy XI for a long time now, since I came back from EQ2 as a Derg. I love my Derg. I love sticking my enjoyably large phallic symbol into squishy mobs. I don't really want to think about what that says about me, but there it is. I'm recently leveled blue and loving it, although I'm going to probably take a break soon because I just don't have the time to farm spells. And other than that, I'm really excited about this podcast. I'm hoping it turns out really nice and wonderful and shiny. I did not get a big chance to be part of the community in Final Fantasy XI. I came to it a bit late. And I'm really hoping to put some energy and some time into becoming a part of what I'm sure will be the wonderful Final Fantasy XIV community. So, yeah, that's about it. Since this is our very first episode, and since there might be some of you guys out there who are not totally sure of what's going on, we thought it'd be a good idea to give you a quick and dirty news wrap-up. So, Rhea, why don't you proceed to enlighten the masses?
I will try to do that. Final Fantasy XIV was announced as a kind of big surprise at this year's E3. They've announced that they're targeting a 2010 release for both PC and PS3 platforms. They've been developing this game for 4 to 5 years. It was, of course, the fabled Rapture. The same team for Final Fantasy XI has been working on this, with, in particular, Tanaka as the lead developer and Sage Sundy as the head GM and manager of the global community.
I am so excited that Sundy is coming back.
Nobu Uematsu has been announced as composing all of the music for this game.
Which is absolutely awesome and has caused me to want to go out and buy a giant sound system.
They're targeting a simultaneous world art release, which is something that we didn't see in 11, but will be much appreciated for this game.
I think that's one of the better things that they're doing. I can tell you right now that at the moment I'm kind of suffering because 13 isn't a global release, and we're going to have to wait for so dang long after it's out in Japan to get our hands on it. And I don't know about you, Rhea, but really I think it's going to be awesome to be able to jump in it on the very first day.
Yes.
I know that I'm not going to work that day and will probably be claiming laryngitis. And we'll be screaming so much at the TV that I'm sure it'll come true the next day.
Yes, getting in there and trying to figure out how everything works along with everybody else.
So excited. Of course, that is if we don't get into the beta, which we need to get into because if not, I'll have an emotional breakdown.
So, they're also looking at an ability to port over a name and friends list from 11.
You know, I, sorry, yes, to interrupt so much, but I was, okay, this is what I'm thinking. How the heck are they going to do that?
I don't know.
Because if there's not going to be any play online, then how are they magically going to transfer it away from the evil grip of play online device viewer thingy?
Yeah, I don't know about that. It's, it I mean, because they could do something with this whole new concept that they've thrown out there recently with the security tokens and Screenix accounts. But that would seem very partial and a little bit strange.
Yeah. Although I am glad my token works for more than one game. It makes me feel better about my $10.
I'm going to have to get me one of those.
Oh, you don't have a token?
No, I hear the Mog Satchel's like sex.
Yes! It is awesome! It's like, oh, look, my inventory's full. No! No, wait, I have a whole other thing over here.
So, yeah. There also, we've seen that there's going to be a lot of avatar customization available. In particular, there have been various varying reports about various minor armor pieces having physical appearances. And in particular...
differences in physical appearances?
Sure.
Well, no, because I think that is like the holy grail of customization is when you can tweak your armor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the Knights of Roland would run around because they could customize their armor.
All right. Plus, they're
like medieval French literature.
Did I say anything? All right. So they're also going to be able to let people choose avatars similar to the ones that they had in 11, in case people developed strong affinities towards their particular avatar's appearance.
I have to be honest. I'm probably going to end up doing that. I mean, it won't be, like, exactly the same, but I'll really start as, like, the basis with the same character and then, like, make his hair purple.
Wow. That would be kind of interesting. I'm kind of looking forward to the opportunity to change my hair and possibly get a lighter skin tone. So, yeah.
I'm Elven Face number 3, by the way.
All right. I'll 3A. Can I add you to my friends list?
Sure, you can.
Then, of course, as you're probably aware, at Gamescom in Germany and Cologne, they produced a playable alpha build that everyone a lot of people at the convention got a chance to play.
Which, much like the initial release of Final Fantasy 14 as an oncoming title, mm-hmm. made me scream like a little girl, and then wet myself, and then scream some more, and then go take a shower and change clothing, all the time screaming, enjoy, and bliss, and wonderfulness.
Yeah, that was actually a rather interesting moment when I was like, so, by the way, Ellie, they're playing it in Germany, and you couldn't process it.
Yeah, okay, because here's a kind of funny story, see? Mm-hmm. The thing was that while GamesCon was going on, I was, like, in the middle of the ocean on a cruise ship in Alaska, freezing my ass off.
Mm-hmm.
And so, although it ended up costing me something like $120 in cell phone bills, which I feel really bad about, I would call Rhea, like, every other day and be like, oh my god, what's going on at GamesCon? Oh my god. And then he told me it was playable, and, like, I passed out and had to go drink a martini at the casino lounge.
Didn't you tell me the next day that you had, like, 4 dreams about this game, and you hadn't even seen
yes,
any pictures
okay,
of it?
Okay, I did, but I blame that on the martinis and not so much on my excitement, although you can never tell.
At Gamescom, Tanaka and Sunday also gave some interviews and there's been information gradually coming out in the Japanese magazines that... 2 websites in particular, Aozopedia and the Final Fantasy 14 section of the ZAM network, have been doing wonderful jobs of covering. You should go and check those out.
Definitely. I mean, it's really, really, really good information. Lots of it provided very quickly. Actually, I was really impressed with Square Enix and how fast they're doing these things. I mean, at the same time I'm saying this, right now we've had a 1-month-long drought of information over at 11.
Mm-hmm.
But they do seem to at least be making an effort with 14 to keep people in the loop as much as I guess you would expect an excessively secretive company to keep people in the loop.
Yes. So, that's basically it. Though, of course, there have been lots of minor details to pour over. We encourage you to check out those and other community sites to find those details on your own, and maybe join some forums and post up your own speculation-type ideas.
Yeah, please, if you were a lurker in Final Fantasy XI on the forums like I was, get involved! Uncle Sam wants you!
We need to come up with...
The Chocobo dude wants you!
Alright, that's a little better.
Come on! You want to get involved and be rewarded with cheesecake and happiness and wonderment?
Sign up for your community forum.
Sign up for your community forum with his free cheesecake rebate. By the way, I would like now to apologize to anyone who becomes hungry upon listening to this episode. I realize that I have a cheesecake problem. I am, in fact, seeking help.
I would call it more of a fetish. But that's just me.
I can't believe you just reduced my love of cheesecake to something so dirty.
Well, you were kind of asking for it there. I'm sorry.
My love of cheesecake is pure and chaste, damn it.
All right. I will rescind my comment if you furnish me with a slice of cheesecake. How about that?
I'm sure I have one somewhere lying around in the five refrigerators.
The five refrigerators? That needs an appellation, like the five refrigerators of hell.
I'm sorry. Anyway, we would also like to apologize for tangents.
Would we?
No, not really, because then we wouldn't have anything to talk about. But getting right along with it, we thought it would be kind of fun to do a little bit of speculation. This being our first episode and the game being not released and there being lots of information still hanging in the air.
Yes.
You know, speculation, fun. It's pretty much all we can do sometimes, and so we thought, heck, why not give it a well-formatted try? So, for this, let's say, period of standard deviation, until our next episode comes out, we're going to talk about mobs. You like to beat them up, you love to make them cry, and hopefully they give you XP and shiny things.
They are the main
staple of absolutely every game that has ever come out, even if the mobs are other people.
Yes, conflict drives everything.
And isn't that a wonderful statement in and of itself? Mm-hmm. So, basically, one of the really cool things, at least I always thought about the Final Fantasy series, is that although almost everything changes between installments, there are lots of things that never change. Moogles have been Moogles since Moogles were first Moogles, and will be Moogles until Moogles stop being Moogles. So it's one of those wonderful continuancy things. Mm-hmm. So basically, we just kind of wanted to chit-chat, about the mobs that we thought, at least, were coming out. Famitsu very recently, just came out with some of the pictures of some of the mobs that are being included, along with some of the classes. And, you know, there's some great ancient Final Fantasy staples of the entire cities, like Cactars, because who doesn't love being pummeled by a walking cactus? Mm-hmm. Or fun things like, let's see, what else is fun? Oh, you gotta love the mammoths. It looks like a cross between a Moogle, a mammoth, a pup automaton, and a ginormous makeup poof.
Makeup poof? Is that what you're calling it?
What would you call it?
I don't know. I would call it maybe something like an urn with a handle that it decided to use as a helmet.
It's a... No, not the thing in the back that looks like a cheerleader's pom-pom on, like, rabbit's tail.
Yeah. About that. I can't see that on my picture.
I'm so sorry.
That up there that's the same color as the magazine background?
Yeah!
Okay. Then that's, if that's even, like, really there, and my eyes aren't deceiving me, then that is totally not an urn. And it has, like, yeah, I could see a makeup type.
It's a lucky thing. Rabbit's tail!
Ooh, yes, the fabled rabbit charm, now included in your everyday mammet.
And, of course, you know, Marlboros. I hate Marlboros. I have always hated Marlboros. They are evil!
Yes, they are. And now
let's talk to this guy. Oh, wait, he didn't brush his teeth this morning. Crap!
Plus, these are looking kind of like your traditional standard Marble.
I don't really care.
Marble. And your friendly cavernous, friendly neighborhood cavernous maw from Wings of the Goddess.
Yes, they do have ginormous maws, but, you know, that's kind of run-of-the-mill. Then, of course, there are some basic Final Fantasy XI staples that are making a comeback, although the Opu Opus look the same, and so do the Aramons, and so do the Pucks. Well, actually, no, the Pucks look like bastard lizard children. By the way, for those of you wondering where we're looking at these pictures, you can go to ZAM, and it's under the blog post of Famitsu Classes and Monsters.
Which right now is the second page on there.
Right now is the second page. Come on, Rayatha is going to take forever to edit. We all know it.
Don't remind me.
So, yeah. So I personally am really looking forward to beating up on some old friends like Marbles and being eaten by them. Mostly because I can, like, run up to one and then run away from it without really having to make any kind of conscious decision. It just happens as natural instinct. Mm-hmm. But there are some new mobs, or at least I'm sure they're new mobs. One of the things that we can see is an antelope, which is going to give me so many nightmares.
Oh, come on. It looks friendly and sleek, and, like, it might lick your ear when you're not paying attention.
It looks like an overgrown llama.
I guess, though it's a little bit more sleek than all that.
Okay, it looks like an anorexic llama.
Okay, we can go for that.
It looks like an anorexic llama. And the ogre? Don't even get me started on the ogre. It looks like if it's eaten lava for breakfast and then proceeded to slather it all over itself.
Yeah, I don't even know what's going up with that, because those kind of look like horns, but that's just kind of disturbing. It looks as though it should have a face, but doesn't.
Oh, it's a very traumatizing set of pictures. But anyway, since this is a primary voice medium, I personally am hoping that a lot of the old Final Fantasy mobs make a comeback. They seem to always kind of make it through. But there are some things that I would love to see repeated that haven't kind of necessarily been repeated. I mean, there are some old standbys, like everybody knows that elementals will somehow make their way back.
Shinier and prettier than
before. Be some kind of weather.
What a profound statement, that.
Yeah. But, you know, there's those old, there's no way in heck that is not making an appearance. And, you know, I'm sure that we're definitely going to have some version of Tiamat, and Bahamut's going to be in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. All your favorite ginormous bad guys.
Yeah, but, you know, and Mandy's are probably going to make it in, and I'm sure there's going to be a bunny that can eat my face.
All the time.
I hate that. The damn bunnies. I was eaten by a bunny in where was it? It was in, Ulgard Range. Range. However you pronounce that. I was eaten by a bunny. I was minding my own freaking business. I was there as Dirk, and it just ate me. It looked at me and said, "Hi, I'm a snow bunny. Look at me, I'm pure and white. Death."
And you're like, "Oh, look at that, it's cute. I wish that I could pick it up, but I'm already at face first on the floor."
But, you know, I think it would be kind of... I love it when I see new monster designs and new monsters, period. And with the graphic eye candy that this game is turning out to be...
Oh, definitely.
I am really looking forward to some new mobs. So, I was thinking, Rhea, what kind of new mobs do you really, really want to see?
New mobs?
Yeah. Hmm.
I don't know.
Giant floating bananas?
That would be... Okay, I kind of wanted to shift towards the absurd, because I think that would be cool, but a lot of other games are doing that, and somehow that quite wouldn't feel Final Fantasy enough.
You're right.
Although, anything they put in this game is going to be awesome with their amazing graphics.
They're so pretty.
But no, I know they're probably not going to do anything like continue the exact types of Beastmen over, because that would be rather, like, just
bad.
Oh,
it would be boring.
Yeah. I was a big fan of the Yugudo from 11, so I would love to see some kind of bird-type beastman terror.
You know, actually, something that I think would be really cool, I do love, like, the flying mobs, mm-hmm. like the gargoyles that they just added in, like, the last patch in 11. By the way, I apologize if anyone here doesn't play 11, but essentially these gargoyle mobs were really cool because they had a flying position and a landing position.
Oh,
and depending on if they were flying or landing, they would use different moves. I think that that is such an awesome concept. I would love to see, like, mobs that fly around my head and then descend and eat me. I want to see more of those.
Yes, and not just in special zones, like, a little bit more evenly distributed.
Yeah, like just you know, like giant butterfly Mothra kind of things.
That would be kind of cool.
They come down and go like, "Bah, I'm Mothra," and it like eats you.
That would be awesome.
Or Godzilla.
Godzilla.
I can just see giant Gakkas like fighting back Godzilla with their big ships and tasers.
They could even look like giant versions of this ogre picture.
Yes. Godzilla as a giant ogre. But no, really. I kind of want to bring back some of the more fun mobs that you know, one of the things that I really didn't, or I thought was lacking in 11, was that since the technology was a little bit limited, I didn't really see any kinds of, like, mechanical mobs. Mm-hmm. And I think that now that we're getting at least the idea that the technology in Haldoran is going to be a little bit more advanced, I would love to see mechanical soldiers come back, because those things are just badass.
Yes, I could
even
see...
Or at least generators that can blow up with lightning magic.
All right. That'd be cool.
So yeah. I mean, it's really, 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 really shiny when they add new mobs, but I do really love coming back to the old ones time and time and time again and beating up good friends.
So, a quick question. They've said they've kind of announced, though, naturally, with the tidbits of information we're getting, not a whole lot of everything is really 100% confirmed. They've
It's SE, right? Nothing will ever be 100% confirmed.
Tanaka could not either confirm or deny that his name is Tanaka. But anyway, they've said that they're going to have seamless zones and that they're going to try and incorporate areas roughly equivalent to regions from Final Fantasy XI, which were some maybe 3 or 4 main zones and then some dungeons. So having all of that kind of together.
Seamless, yeah.
Yeah, if that's the case, what do you think about distribution of stuff like H&Ms or whatever they call, like, land gods or whatever?
Well, actually, one of the interesting things is, since I saw the guild leave system, mm-hmm. I've kind of been thinking that the main way that they could get H&Ms to work, which I personally think would be a really badass concept on their part,
yeah,
is that you would pop an H&M by getting an appropriate guild leave.
Yeah.
Guild leave, guild levy, guild... Guild leave, does that work?
Yes, I'm going with guild leave.
Raya is our resident linguist. We will be passing most attempts at pronouncing things by him.
I apologize in advance for any misinformation that I may spread with this capacity, since I am an amateur and not a professional.
You need to work on that.
I should, maybe after my first novel comes out.
We're English majors, people. We apologize. I think that that's how they're going to manage it. I think that personally, if they do end up doing that, where you pop NMs and H&Ms with, like, an appropriate guild leave, would be awesome, since they've already said that mobs popped by a guild leave can only be killed by the people who pop it.
Yes, that would be awesome.
Right, it eliminates most of the really, really nasty
claim arguments.
24-hour camping of, like, land kings that you have to do in 11. Or, you know, any of the really annoying NMs that you just have to sit there and wait for.
Yeah.
I think it would be really cool if you can just, you know, pop the leave and it'll pop out there and it'll eat your face. But, you know, it's going to only eat your face. Mm-hmm. And not the collective faces of everyone around.
Yeah. If they're going to have this sort of calendar, little schedule type thing for you to pick up guild leaves at, then you basically relocate and spawn times for NMs to the guild leave calendar.
Yeah, I honestly think that that's, of course, I think that's probably going to how they're going to do it. I really can't say that with any kind of authority whatsoever, but it does seem a little bit logical. So they're probably going to do it some other weird way.
You know, SEs like that.
But anyway, I do really hope that they work something like that out, because I think that for the most part, that would eliminate a lot of the problems we have in 11 when it comes to H&Ms, and it would give them a convenient, because, you know, they could add a little story for this ginormous thing appearing in the middle of nowhere.
You're right. And because that was one of the things that I've always wondered about with just the regular NMs. It's like, why is there this specially badass version of something wandering around with a name?
Right. Why is Leaping Lizzie Leaping Lizzie? And the answer is we don't know, because she drops leaping boots. But no, so you could give it a little backstory. Really quick, dirty backstory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway.
Is there anything else you want to speculate
about? No, nothing. I'm good.
All right.
Okay, the theme of today's show, the battle system.
Bum, bum, bum.
Was that the best you could come up with?
No. I'm sorry, people. I tried to go to the end of my range, and it showed. It won't happen again.
One of the really badass and cool things that we all saw at a GamesCon that caused me, again, to scream like a little girl. I seem to spend most of my life doing that.
I don't know what your problem is.
Was the battle system, or at least the very basics of the battle system.
Yeah, considering that they apparently don't have very much of the game finished yet, which is understandable.
I mean, it's still probably got about, as much as this pains me to say, a year to go. So. Yeah, I know. But we must be strong and get beta keys.
We should... No, I'm not going to say it, because that could involve lawsuits.
I'm so totally sending Tanaka a cheesecake with my character information on it.
Oh, so that would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Yep. But anyway, a little caveat to this discussion, of course, is that all of this is probably going to change 7 times over before the final game is released. It is only an alpha build that they kind of seem to slap together so that the people at GamesCon could play it. But it does give us a heck of a lot of information to go on. The folks at Eorzeapedia and at the XAM Network were kind enough to do some write-ups about what the battle system looked like, so y'all should head over there and take a look if you haven't seen it already. And we're just going to kick it off by Rhea telling us a little bit about how the basic battle system is set up, and the gauges and the shiny buttons and the death and the whirling spinning daggers of doom are arranged.
Alright, so given some screenshots that the good people who have been covering this have been able to take at from...
By the way, talking about monsters previously, how awesome is it to make sure that the dodos become extinct once again?
Yes, awesome.
They are giant puffballs that you just want to make them go poof!
And they look really funny. Just because, you know.
It's just, my god, I keep on looking at these screenshots and thinking, oh no, I can't get this game for a year because it is so pretty.
And you know what?
They're going to get prettier.
I just got a high-definition television.
I hate you.
Can't you imagine this kind of thing on that?
No, because if I did, I would lose most cognitive functions.
We don't want you turning into a vegetable yet. You gotta earn your undergrad. Hoo-ah. Anyway,
yeah.
So there's a basic action bar, which seems to have 10 items on it that they've said are variable. You can set them according to your own playstyle.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And these seem to be, special actions, like... whatever. Not just your basic attack, although that might be in there. Stuff like provoke, job abilities, and maybe weapon skills.
In this case, battle cry number 2.
Yes. The action gauges, there's one for the right hand and one for the left hand, should you be carrying something in both hands. Which in the example that I'm looking at, where there's a gladiator... or something?
Yes, gladiator, sword and shield.
Using a sword and shield, there are gauges here for that. There's a vertical gauge or a horizontal gauge. Wow, there's a horizontal gauge and a sort of around the clock looking gauge. I'm thinking that the clock gauge is something like time or accuracy, and then the other one is something like power or You know what that could be? That could be weapon degeneration.
Nah. I don't know. I mean, okay, it could be anything. But personally, I think that the arc.
Yeah?
The arc one is the you haven't done an action with this hand for X amount of time and therefore have accrued...
Oh, okay.
Zhuzh. Mm-hmm. And the horizontal one is I am now casting this, and when it becomes full, it will...
All right. That makes sense. Also, they have, in the apparently fully movable around the user interface, in the corner...
Which is awesome.
The standard location of this bar seems to be in the corner, with your HP, MP, and there's a TP gauge.
I have to be honest, it's one of the few things, I mean, I understand it's fully movable, so that's not okay, but all of that being down there, no.
No?
It just, no.
Especially because...
It's like, oh my god, I'm looking up here to find the... Where's... Oh my god, I'm dead. There's my HP bar.
Yeah, now you can put it somewhere a little bit more intuitive.
It would be nice. Mm-hmm.
So, and there's a place to view the enemy HP. Presumably of the mob you happen to be looking at and fighting, since there doesn't seem to be an auto-lock. Maybe there is, and I've been missing it, but...
I think there's, like... At least
an equivalent.
It's the target, right? It's the target. I don't know if there's necessarily an auto lock, but there's definitely that HP is the target of your action. So
okay, all right, that makes sense.
Yeah. So a few small points about the battle system in case you've been living in China. Although you would probably have access to this in China.
Probably.
If you were stationed in a research base in Antarctica. With no satellite internet for 2 to 3 months because of the winter.
Yeah. We'll go with that.
Okay. So, yeah, you do have, in fact, two little action gauges, one for each hand. When you're using a two-handed weapon, you only get one. You can set 10 abilities in the action bar where you select your abilities from. That seems to be the same, whether it be a two-handed or one-handed weapon. So, mm-hmm. two-handed weapon will have 10 actions, but only one timer, and a dual-wield situation will have 10 options, but two hands to whack at things with.
Okay, I've been wondering. Let me lob this out there. I've been wondering if there are going to be any sort of special defensive abilities, and we don't have anything to confirm this. But if that's the case, if you were using a sword and shield, would you have to? I guess you would have to put the defensive abilities within that 10 bars.
Yeah, I kind of think so. I don't know how they're going to deal with parry. It would be really awesome. One of the few things I liked about 11 was that, you know, parry auto-procced. Mm-hmm. So me with horrible hand-eye coordination didn't have to try to, like, counter mob moves.
But...
I don't know if parry is now going to become some kind of, like... move in the actual thing, in the one of the moves, selectable moves in your action bar. It's kind of hard to tell at this point, but yeah, the interesting thing was that in none of the Gamescom footage, and you can all feel free to correct our stupidity in this if you know better, I didn't actually see him ever, the gladiator, ever use his shield for anything.
It was just kind of there.
Right, it was just kind of there, and although it was in another hand, and presumably he has things that he can do with it, mm-hmm. I didn't see anything. I saw the really cool, like, explosion and the ever-so-shiny whirls of wind energy, but I didn't see anything, like, shield-bashy.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that either.
So it'd be really interesting to find out how that'll work, and I'm sure eventually at some point in time, if only when we start playing the game... We'll get some ideas. Another thing to point out is that, of course, the abilities that you have access to are entirely dependent upon the weapon that you're wielding. Mm-hmm. And apparently upon the skill you have in that weapon.
Not unsurprising.
TP you get from you doing attacks, executing attacks, and actually doing damage.
And by mobs hitting you, right?
And by mobs hitting you, I think. I'm not totally sure about that. You do get some TP, and then you can use that TP to do shinier, more explodey, more screen-dissolving kind of things.
Yeah.
Let's see. Actually, very interesting.
Yes.
And something that we really wanted to talk about. No auto attack at all.
Yes. Which
Tanaka clearly stated that they would not be doing any kind of auto attack, which is basically the crux of our discussion. I don't know how to feel about that.
Yeah, I was going to say, because on the one hand, you can't just set it and forget it, and then go do other things, or not pay attention.
You, sir?
Yes.
Must go burn in hell.
Why?
Set it and forget it?
I'm using a popular catchphrase, okay?
No! You are not using the rotisserie chicken 1099 catchphrase!
I am sorry, I do not have what are they called? Infomercial Bible. Okay? I don't memorize these things.
So, anyway...
No, okay, but you in 11 you could just be fighting a mob and not be all that involved, and yeah, occasionally you got to use shiny skills, but not really all that often, unless maybe you were a mage.
It's true. Being a derg, I can definitely say that most of the time you just sit there, auto-attack, and when you have 100% TP, weapon skill, because skill chains are dead.
That's actually one of the reasons why I really enjoy playing Blue Mage, which is my main, because I can cast spells and things and feel like I'm doing a decent job with that, and I can actually attack them so that I can feel like when I'm not casting spells because I have no MP or because, you know, the mob doesn't like me casting spells at it, I can actually still be doing something. Though, of course, that is auto-attacking 100%.
So you really like this no auto-attack thing?
Yes. Although, given their release information about the disciplines, I don't have high hopes for any kind of hybrid job. So, hopefully, this will assuage those kinds of fears.
Yeah, I think that I don't know. I'm not quite sure how to feel about this. The modern gamer part of me is like, oh my god, this is absolutely awesome because I'll actually be more involved and be able to, you know, constantly affect the tide of battle. There's really nothing more frustrating than, like, waiting between your two-handed weapon delay to do something while something is eating your face.
And especially when someone in your party is being eaten and you can't do anything about it.
Right. Your timers are down, and you're just sitting there going, okay, yeah, weapon delay! Woo!
Yeah.
But, on the other hand, I am a little bit worried that this is going to lead to button mashing. I hate button mashing. I suck at button mashing.
I know
this. I can't even play Dance Dance Revolution effectively.
Oh, man. You need to go to, like, a special camp or something and fix that.
I'm so sorry for my deficiencies in DDR ability.
No,
but
they've...
So, I don't know. I'm blasé.
But according to what they've said, we won't need to be doing button mashing because, and I'm glad they've taken this into account, apparently mob AI is going to be much improved this time around, so the mob will be able to learn what you're doing if you're constantly doing the same thing over and over again.
Oh, that's really cool.
So, you can't just sit there and spam one or two. And you may not even be able to spam... Well, you can. But maybe they'll end up with, like, a rage timer or something without them beating your face. But...
Yeah, I guess. Okay. So what you're telling me is at least I have to establish a large pattern if I want to mash the same buttons.
Yes, and I'm guessing that you can't do something random like alternate between weapon skill number 1 and weapon skill number 2 if they both deal regular damage. You're going to have to do something that's alternating between this, which is going to do, you know, normal damage, and then this over here, which is maybe going to be some kind of magic-based, so that the mob isn't like, oh, he's using physical stuff. Let me put up some kind of physical prevention bonus.
The mob is going to be smarter than you.
Yes, which if they can pull this off, is going to be really fun, because I want to be able, I maybe I'm just, like, masochistic, but I want to be able to die to mobs for reasons other than because the game interface isn't letting me do stuff.
Okay, but I die to mobs every day. In fact, as we're recording this, I have just been handed my have had my ass handed to me by a skink that proceeded to say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I will be accurate today. Here is a thunderbolt to the face."
I'm so sorry. But
I hate thunderbolt.
Well, anyway, as long as we and I guess we're maybe ultimately going to be able to do this anyway, but as long as we can't immediately pigeonhole mobs and be like, so this mob is going to do these kinds of things, and look at that, that's totally a move that mob is doing. If it can adapt better, if it doesn't just use the same kind of stuff, I think that will be a great benefit, and that we can then plan which mobs are attempting to fight, so that we can choose our action bar carefully.
Well, actually, that's another point I wanted to bring up. One of the things that kind of scares me about the action bar is that there are only 10 buttons on it, and from everything that I've been able to gather, please, again, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, you can only have 10 active abilities at a time. It kind of feels like playing Blue Mage with a spell set.
That's actually what many people have likened this to.
So, I mean, it's kind of cool, because you have to be very smart about how you select your weapons. But at the same time, it's kind of scary, because sometimes I might want to, let's say I'm playing a mage, I might want to be like, yo, you're eating my face, let's play escape. And then when you go to hit the escape button, you find out you cast Cure 2.
All right, instant death. You can have this.
So, I mean, I guess it's kind of cool, but the 10 buttons thing scares me a little bit.
Well, to be honest, although you mentioned a rather corner case, which would be awesome to be able to use effectively without having to preset it, because that would feel almost like you were planning to be GIMP.
Excuse me, I would like to plan in case I get eaten, because I'm going to get eaten.
Yeah, but anyway, there weren't all that many usable skills for each particular job or job type in 11. So that doesn't scare me as much, though I know that I won't be able to use random stuff that I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be awesome if this mob had this, and so this generic skill set for fighting mobs in general can't do that because I have this special ability that would be awesome here because it's weak to lightning damage. Can't use it because it's not here.
Yeah, well, okay, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. In the other games that I have played in my time as an MMOer, namely in EQ2 more than anything else, you had various little, they were like this, they were just bars and you would hit the appropriate number or click on them and it would execute a skill, right? Yeah. But you could have like three of them open at the same time, so you had this whole menu thing set up. And although it's really interesting, the melee jobs, I was about to say melee, melee jobs in 11, they really don't have all those many options. You know, I'm a Durg. I got jump, high jump, and like Candyland.
Yeah, I guess.
So, I mean, I don't know. Do you think, okay, this is my question. Do you think that they're going to increase the amount of skills
available at one
time? I think, personally, that logically it follows, if you have a system set up like this, that you're going to, just like you pointed out, have to have a lot of skills, and you're going to have to be very good at combining them to get skill sets that are good at fighting different kinds of mobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to see, some have speculated that, because 10 isn't a very high number, that maybe we'll have additional skill sets that we can cycle through. It might be something that can be quested to be expanded. I would hope that it's available right away, if it happens. I, though, think that we as players will be driven to new heights by having to select specific abilities.
Well, though, I mean, it definitely goes along with what they're saying about strategy, and how much they want it to be a very tactical battle. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only real way to ensure that you have to use tactics is to limit your resources, so you have to use them wisely. And this definitely one of the biggest things they could limit is the amount of available abilities and the different kinds of damage you can do.
One thing that might worry me, though I may be a little bit going too much into this, I know that in Guild Wars, which I was playing avidly during one of my breaks from 11, there were they had something similar to this, where you could choose individual items to fill up your action bar equivalent. Mm-hmm. Then there are all kinds of people advocating certain kinds of builds, and I know that this is all over the place in World of Warcraft. It may just be me
in not... World of Warcraft, in Final Fantasy XI, you can only have some job and sub-job combinations.
Well,
and
yeah, okay.
Abilities.
I'm aware of that. But I don't want things to become so limited to... I mean, I guess you're right. This does happen in 11. Where you're expected to have this and this and this, or there's only a few different quote-unquote playable builds or combinations.
Well, okay. So here's the thing. I think that they've actually probably... This system kind of gets you away from that. Mostly, if I would have to explain to myself the general feeling that I'm getting, mm-hmm. instead of as an act of Altana in my consciousness, moving me towards an object, I would probably say that the fact that we're going to have lots of different mobs and that the mobs are going to be adaptive...
Yeah.
At least to me, screams that they're going to be adaptive in different ways.
I would hope so.
So, I mean, you're not going to only be able to have one skill set to work. Okay, I mean, the jump did the same kind of damage to every mob, unless that mob had some kind of physical damage prevention. But maybe in this game, jump will only work on certain mobs, and you'll have to use... I will stick this extremely pointy stick into your eyeballs...
method.
On mobs that have extremely large eyeballs.
Okay.
So, it's just... Okay. What I'm trying to say is I think that if you can make the mob AI complex enough where you have to use different tactics for every kind of mob, you are going to at least need to have different cookie cutters for each of those situations. And that becomes less of a...
traumatic.
Logocentric... master narrative that can control the outcomes of people's decisions in the game because it becomes diffused in its potency.
Yes, and of course, it would feel as though there is some master being that is non-human and probably not God either, then exerting through that narrative to pull the strings of all of the individual players.
Okay, if you say so.
If I do say so. Come on, it can acquire a self, and then things can get really out of hand from there.
Okay.
It's actually...
Anyway,
Okay.
So,
yes.
Moving on, one of the other things that I thought was really, really interesting was that you're going to have to constantly... This system really does mean that one cannot go into the bathroom between fights. So I guess I'll get much more use out of my Pringles can.
Wow, that was a bit too much information there, Ellie.
Really, I'm so sorry, listening audience. Dynamis is my favorite endgame event. What can I say? I think that is one of the biggest draws for me, is the fact that I am actually going to have to consciously exert some kind of...
Yes.
Like, awareness.
Premeditative.
Of what's going on at all times so that I can adapt to the situation and poke the appropriate button.
Yes.
Because as it stands, there are a lot of times in Final Fantasy XI, especially as a DD, when you're just like, you're killing colibris. Mm-hmm. Colibri. You're killing Colibri, and you go to kill the Colibri, and you say, Colibri, I am going to kill you, look at my Drakespin. And then you just kind of sit there and TP for, you know, you start thinking about Cuba, or about Alaska, or about time, space, as a continuum, or as an end fragmentation. And then, you know, you just have to kind of hit the same buttons every once in a while. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that at the very least, what the system does is allow for a lot of variety. I think it seems to foster variety if only because it limits you. And that, I realize, is a contradiction in terms, but it
works. We all know that restrictions breed creativity. So if you find yourself without that special move to use against X mob, you're going to have to figure out how to deal with it, even if it means the mob is going to eat your face.
Well, I mean, okay, I think that that also kind of goes along with one of the long-standing Final Fantasy traditions of exploration. Mm-hmm. The first time you meet a mob, it will most likely eat you, chew you, spit you out, and then lick your corpse and take your valuables. So, I mean, but then I think that the cool thing would be that later on when you come up with the same kind of family of mobs, mm-hmm. you'll have the same response that you have to our good friend the Maldrol, and you'll run the freak away, or equip a lot of spells or abilities that get rid of status effects.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'll be a learning process, and I think that that's kind of cool, because if you're not going to have levels, one of the good ways to distinguishate between what players can and can't do is by giving them very diverse mobs and seeing how well they're able to react to each of them and remember how to deal with them.
Yes, especially if there are multiple mobs that each require different strategies within the same region space.
In the same region space.
Which, as I was formulating that, I was going to say area, but then because it was seamless, I changed my mind, and now that statement just completely lacks luster, because clearly in a space as big as a region, there are going to be different kinds of mobs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even now, there are different kinds of mobs, but I do think that they're going to incorporate lots of fun, different battle elements. And, you know, I think it's going to probably end up making more of the entirety of the game feel more like salvage.
Which
is awesome, because I personally think that salvage is the best activity ever introduced into Final Fantasy XI. Because mm-hmm. you have to constantly be on top of stuff and be thinking about stuff, but you can get stuff done in like 90 minutes, which means you do not come out of it totally burnt out and not relaxed.
And of course, conversely, you also have to be really well equipped to do your player job well, which hopefully this entire game is going to be like.
Right, right. I definitely hope so. I was really excited when I heard that little news that they were planning on having even more armor options mm-hmm. than they have now in 11.
Yes.
That's awesome. Maybe something, I can wear something that doesn't look like a ginormous orange jumpsuit.
Have you finally managed to unglue that from your flesh?
No. Well, most of my assault jerkin has been pried off, but there are parts of it still peeking out through the Zahawks. And I'm kind of sad about it.
I'm so sorry.
But, yeah. So, no, and another thing. Oh, my. I got so excited when I heard about this. What do you think about mobs having parties?
Mobs having parties?
Mobs having parties. Didn't you notice that it sometimes, like, the mobs wouldn't just link? It seemed to go beyond linking in that they were actually, like, a group of mobs that if you claimed one of them, all of them attacked you.
So you're saying it would be kind of like if a bat trio from 11 was three individual bats that were like, hey there.
Right, right, right. And one of them was a tank, and the other one was a support, and the third one was death on a stick.
That would be the most, possibly the most traumatizing experience I could ever imagine. I would need to call for a party.
You would be walking through the fields, and then you feel a tap on your shoulder, and you see a group of Puggles snapping their fingers with some old-fashioned music, and you hear the Jets song going on, and then you run and scream like a girl.
And then they proceed to follow you speedily.
And you can't zone since it's seamless.
And you're like, no. Then you get, that's when you get your half-hour playtime for the day, is you running back to a city and then realizing that you ended up in a dungeon instead.
I have to be honest, I'm kind of excited about this because it just adds even more dimension to this battle system. It's really exciting that we have seen so little of the battle system, but it is already so much more complicated than pretty much anything that I have run into at the moment.
Yeah, and about that, you know how there were all these predefined, and I guess this will continue to some extent, party spots that happened in 11, so that there are always parties in certain locations, and you can always see them doing that?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the fact that they're trying to increase draw distance as much as possible for 14, so that you may be able to see X random person or people over there fighting, and then turn over there, and then there's people over there fighting the pugils that you managed to finally escape, and then there's people over there that you're running towards because they're gathering around the Aetherite.
That would be kind of cool. I wouldn't have to do a search hall in that case. Mm-hmm. Okay, another thing that I have to say, I am a little bit worried about the fact that this is going to affect Magic 2, because although maybe, you know, I'm being a little bit short-sighted here, Magic can do normally a lot more than, like, a weapon can do. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll fix that. Maybe that'll be awesome. But for right now, you know, your weapons generally deal damage, and you might get one offensive ability or two. Whereas, you know, even in, like, let's take the case of Red Mage. A Red Mage can enfeeble, it can buff, it can heal, it can nuke. Mm-hmm. And it can only do that effectively because it has such a massive spell list that it can draw from regularly.
Yes.
So I'm, more than anything else, I'm worried about the mages here. Because can you imagine being limited to constantly only having 10 spells?
I guess. The problem here is that you're going to have to decide with your party, or by decide with yourself, come to peace with your avatar, about what kind of build you're going to have before going into any particular situation. But presumably you won't be able to change your action bar in the middle of fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd have to deal with it just on the fly.
Well, I mean, that's another cool thing. At least it seems like the ease of changing weapons is going to make it a lot easier right now. I think that it's definitely going to be a heck of a lot easier and more flexible when it comes to partying, because if you don't particularly have the right thing, you can kind of switch to another one. I don't know how very much the skill of the weapon is going to, how big of a deal it's going to be. I would love for it to be a big deal because, you know, everybody loves being a level 75 and laughing at the noob. Mm-hmm. But even if it is a big deal, you can still maybe get by, or at the very least have lots of levels where you can just go to the field and be like, oh, this isn't working right now. Let me change this.
Yeah. Hopefully there will be plenty of learning curve type experiences where you can test things. Something that occurred to me, they've said, and this is like the big thing that everyone's like, nah, you can't have this. They said that they're not going to have levels, traditional levels, and that therefore something like level sync will be unnecessary. So it makes me wonder if, even if someone has a really high level and a particular weapon or something.
Skill. Let's call it skill.
Okay. A particular high skill and a particular weapon or something. If they can still end up fighting with someone else and A, getting the same amount of experience, and B, not completely dominating the fight, mm-hmm. which I may not be able to see how that could necessarily happen.
It's hard to see how that would happen while providing people with sufficient incentive to play the game.
Yeah, I mean, something that occurred to me right now as I was talking is that maybe the mobs have relative levels that you might be able to fight a weaker mob, and this is totally an unattractive idea, so feel free to, like, yell at me for it. That if you're fighting a lower level mob, you still hit relatively similarly as if you were just beginning, but you can't do that on high level mobs until you have a higher skill.
Oh, that is a horrible idea.
That is a horrible idea.
Could you imagine that? It'd be like, hi, I'm level 75. Oh, look, you're a level 1 bunny back. And then the level 1 bunny looks at you and says, you did.
Alright, so we can forget that I said that and really hope that Squeenix doesn't come out with that.
Okay. But I mean, I think that there has to be some kind of level difference for there to be incentive. You're not going to get people to play this game unless they can go say to their friends, look at how badass I am.
This is very true.
It's just the way it works. But I do think that it's going to be really interesting to see how often and how easily you can change your class and weapon, and how very much the skill of your weapon affects your basic stats, your HP, your MP. I haven't figured out how they're going to do that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there is definitely a lot left to see in this game. I mean, we have only hit the very tip of the iceberg, and Leonardo DiCaprio is only 20 years old. So we've got a long, long way to go.
Whoa, pop culture reference for the fail.
Near, far, wherever. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, that song is traumatizing enough without piercing the speakers on everyone who's listening to this.
I'm so sorry, people. I didn't mean it. I'll send you some cheesecake. Basically, unless you've got something else you want to say, Rhea, I think that that was a very good discussion.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to a high-quality mob AI that either we can figure out how to work around or just to enjoy them defeating us with.
I think that it would be wonderful if we learned to cohabit with the mob AI and become wonderful friends and established a balanced love-hate relationship.
The goblins tried that and failed.
But then they made Mavopolis, and it's all okay because they're really fugly and smelly.
This is true, wow. And as long as they offer to continue increasing the size of your backpack, you're all good.
There you go. Okay, ladies, gents, thank you guys so much for listening. We hope it has been a pleasant experience, or at least not a painful one, although with the singing it might be.
I'm actually kind of glad that you were able to contain that to relatively the end. So, at that point, they'll either have, like, not been around anymore, or can look at their iPods and be like, oh, so there's just a little bit of time left. I think I can tough it out.
I'm so sorry, folks. Please give us some feedback. In case you weren't able to tell, this is our first attempt at podcasting. Mm-hmm. We look forward to try to bring you some quality entertainment, or at least some entertainment, in the next few months, and then afterwards, maybe some information.
Yes.
But please let us know what you think. You can post your comments on our website, eorzeaerrata.blogspot.com, eorzeaerrata.blogspot.com.
That's an awful lot of vowels.
Sí, Eorzea. It's going to be very Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we desperately would like your feedback. If you want this to I'm feeling like I'm on PBS or something. If you want us to continue bringing quality entertainment, you need to please give us some feedback, because unless we know what you're thinking and what you would like us to improve upon or avoid, we can't really change anything, so feel free to hit up our blog over there at Eorzeaerrata.
Let us know what you think. If you have any topics or suggestions for our next discussion, we are going to try to bring you guys some constant discussion talking about some of the major salient points, or at least what we consider the major salient points, and maybe bringing in a little bit of a different view than what's hanging around there. If you want something that we should speculate upon, if you want to speculate upon something with us, feel free to let us know. So basically, come on and help us make this a more entertaining show and a more knowledgeable show. I'm sure you guys collectively know more than I will ever know in all the small days of my life. So feel free to enlighten and elucidate.
Yes, very much.
Other than that, I hope that you have definitely enjoyed listening. My name is Elabreth, and I am signing off.
My name is Rathwa, and I suppose I should come up with a witty sign-off type thing.
No. You just. Okay, yeah. This is what you want. You know what you want to sign off?
Okay.
You know what you want to say? Okay, this is what you do. You pretend that you are in Austria, and you dress yourself as a small child, and then you look at the microphone and say, goodbye!
Well, you know, I don't really have any that kind of experience. My experience in Austria is like trying to wrestle with the World of Warcraft translation team. But that's an episode. That's a whole other episode by itself.
Also, World of Warcraft in Austria.
Yes, I can see it now. T-shirts, banners, posters, and cheesecake cups.
Say goodnight to poor people, Rhea.
Goodnight, poor people. I'm so sorry for giving you all this trouble.
Later, all.